are listening to the Devils Talking Padres podcast for East Village Times, coming to you from the Walter Cronkite School of Journalism and Mass Communication. Here are your hosts, Dominic Stern and Bobby Murphy.
Welcome to Devils Talking Padres. I'm Dominic Stern, joined by Bobby Murphy. And Bobby, by the time this next episode is released, we will have officially kicked off opening day of the 2021 Padres season. How excited are you, my man?
Dom, I'm very excited. Nice to be back doing these. These are some of my favorite parts of the season, talking Padres baseball with you and whoever guests we have on. But I'm just super excited to see our boys in brown out there. And I can't wait to see what we do this year.
Yeah, we'll have some D-backs insight because, of course, this will be a series preview. But to start, we're going to talk about the Padres opening day roster and what these guys have impressed us with at spring training. Because there were some shocking additions. And, of course, there are some injuries that, of course, we'll talk about too as well. Let's start with the catchers because, of course, that is the first thing that pops up on the depth chart. Two catchers on the roster, Austin Nola. He's on the injured list. He will not be on the roster to begin the season. So the two catchers to follow are Victor Caratini, who, of course, was brought over in the Yu Darvish trade, and Padres number three prospect Luis Campusano. Bobby, what do you make of these two guys being the Padres catchers to start the season?
Yeah, I'm super excited to see what Campusano can do. It's nice to have Caratini, who, of course, is a switch hitter, and he has the chemistry with Yu Darvish already. It'll be interesting to see how Campusano does, either in a platoon role. It depends how we run it with he and Caratini, but I would love to see Campusano hit well, of course. We know he has his bat at the plate, and just see what he can do just to make a statement while Nola's out.
Yeah, I think it's a great opportunity. It's not Campusano's debut yet, remember, but he's still a rookie. If he performs well, I mean, I don't know what the Padres are going to be able to do because I don't think they're going to want to carry three catchers. But at the same time, Austin Nola is more valuable than Luis Campusano. But the Padres, they have three very valuable options at catcher, and I really don't think you can go wrong with any of them. And that's, of course, always a great thing. And Campusano's been killing it in spring training so far. And that, of course, has been very optimistic for the Padres. And when you consider that, he's the top prospect, but he's just raking. It's awesome. I took a couple of friends to a Padres spring training game, and Campusano was just lacing the balls. My friends look at me, and they're like, who is this guy? And I'm like, well, when he was 19, he absolutely tore up single A as a catcher, and they're like, this guy's gonna be a stud. And I told them, I'm like, yes, we're very well aware. And Campusano definitely deserves to be on the opening day roster, even though he got on it kind of as a note that Nola was hurt. But Campusano absolutely deserves it. And it'll be interesting to see how much Caratini plays early, considering the fact that, you know, he's probably came in as the backup to Austin Nola. And of course, Caratini is gonna be the catcher on opening day because Yu Darvish is the opening day starter, which we'll talk about in a little bit. But the mixture between these two catchers before Nola comes back, depending on how long Nola is out, will be very interesting.
Dom, I just want to ask you a question. So besides when Darvish is pitching while Nola's hurt, do you think Caratini will stay in that spot, or do you think we could have kind of a switch off with Snell pitching, Paddock, Musgrove? Do you think we'll have kind of a platoon there while Nola's hurt?
Well, I think while Nola's hurt, I think you're going to be seeing Caratini take the majority of the spots. And I know that you'll definitely see, obviously, Caratini catching Darvish, but I'd imagine they probably just rotate every other day. I think that might be the most valid thing to do. Or you could have Caratini catch two, Campusano catch one, something along that line. And then when you have days off, you can figure that out. Like I said, it all depends on when Nola comes back, which is really up in the air right now because it felt like he was going to be back in time to be on the opening day roster, but that just was not the case. His injury, I guess, is more, I don't want to say severe because he'll be fine, but it was a little more serious than I think a lot of Padre fans anticipated. So let's move down to the infielders. Of course, there are four specific designated infielders that made the roster. It's Eric Hosmer, Jake Cronenworth, Fernando Tatis Jr., Manny Machado. That was the Padres infield for the 2020 season. We got no surprises here, Bobby.
Yeah, Dom, this is totally what I expected. I can't wait to see Machado and Tatis out there, of course. Hopefully Hosmer can pick up on kind of how he did last year. If we can get an elite Hosmer this year, or kind of not elite, but back to just a good Hosmer. That would be huge for our lineup this year and a push for the NL West. And Cronenworth, I just can't wait to see him build off of last season. I know he kind of struggled at the end, but he'll be super excited to watch this year, and I hope he can keep that second base spot.
Yeah, and we'll talk about some of the other guys that are utility players per se, but those are the four mainly infield guys. Three outfielders, interestingly enough, Castillo put Profar in the outfield spot, but I think more of him as a utility guy. You got Will Myers and Tommy Pham at outfielders, and then Jerks and Profar. Once again, no surprises here. These are some of the more expensive Padres players per se.
Yeah, Dom. And of course, we know Grisham's out. He had the left hamstring injury. So hopefully he'll be back soon. He's eligible to come off on April 8th. So hopefully he won't be out that long, maybe just a week or so. But yeah, I'm expecting probably be Profar in left, Pham in center, and Myers in right. Maybe some switcheroos there with some of the utility guys on the bench. But yeah, I'm excited to see Will Myers play. He had a great spring as he usually does. Profar struggled, but I'm very excited to see him back here. He's a great utility guy off the bench, and he's one guy that can make us great with the depth that we have. And I just can't wait to see just how Tommy Pham does this year. We really need a bounce back here from him.
Yeah, Profar had a really tough spring, and it's going to be interesting to see how the Padres utilize him, because I don't think he was intending to be a starter coming into the year. But then, of course, Trent Grisham lands on the injured list. He's another guy that who knows how long he's going to be out for. But Profar in 45 at-bats, only tallied 5 hits. That's just not very good. But if he serves that utility role, he certainly started off slow last year and then really picked it up once he really started to get consistent playing time. So if he can find that consistent playing time early on in the year, I'd imagine he's going to do much better than what he did in spring training. And then Tommy Pham was very well documented how poor he was playing earlier on in spring training. But then he ended up picking it up, and his average went up to 260 in 50 at-bats, 762 OPS. So all signs are pointing towards Tommy Pham having a better year, because he was not very good in 2020. Of course, then had some injury problems. So I'd expect him to be a little bit better. The shocker here was that Brian O'Grady was left off the opening day roster. I don't know if that's necessarily a shocker. We'll talk about the guy who beat him out, or the two guys that beat him out. But O'Grady had a fairly solid spring in 44 at-bats, 250 average, and he's done an average guy. A 389 OBP certainly stands out, along with a 455 slugging. That's an 843 OPS. And for a guy the Padres brought in as a free agent on a major league deal, he's going to exercise one of his options, and he's going to begin the year in the minor leagues. What do you think of that?
Yeah, Dom, as you said, O'Grady did have a solid spring. He didn't hit the cover off the ball, but he had a very solid. And I'm also surprised that we left him off, but the guy who we'll get to, he can play in a O'Grady spot. He can play infield. We'll get to him in a sec, but the guy who did replace him, he can play all over, kind of like Profar can. So I just love to see the depth that we have right there, but I'm disappointed by it, but I think he'll be up at some point this year, of course, regarding injuries, which God forbid does not happen, but I expect to see O'Grady up at some point this year.
Oh, absolutely. He'll be on the major league roster. I imagine he sees a large amount of playing time, because certainly an impressive left-handed outfield bat. And that's something the Padres have always looked for. They kind of found it last year in Trent Grisham, and can never have another one. All right. The utility guys. Like I said, I would throw Profar in this mix, but Castillo, who's the arc I'm going off of here, because he, of course, has the sources, listed Profar as an outfielder. But the utility guys, Ha-Seong Kim, Jorge Mateo, and Tucapita Marcano. Certainly interesting, to say the least here.
Yeah, Dom, I totally agree. I mean, some of these guys had great springs. Marcano hit 405. He had 17 hits and 42 at-bats, and he had a great spring. I'm very excited to see him on this roster. And Jorge Mateo, he had the most hits on the team. He had the most at-bats on the team, and he totally deserves this spot. He's a great utility outfielder to have off the bench, speedster, and he just brings the energy from the bench that I love to see.
You know, these guys, I don't want to say like Tucapita Marcano shouldn't have been on the roster, but I certainly would have thought that O'Grady would have made it over him. But the number 6 Padres prospect in the system absolutely killed it. And good for him. The 21-year-old made the major league roster. Like you said, could play some outfield, could play some infield. So he he's a really useful piece to be that 26th man that the Padres are certainly taking advantage of having. And I look forward to watching him keep playing. I don't know how much he's going to play just because they're clearly guys that have more experience and are better players than him at the moment, but he's impressed a ton in spring training. And I can't speak enough. 405 batting average, 479 OBP, 1098 OPS. That's just really good. And then Jorge Mateo, you talked about it, led the team in at-bats. His defense improved a ton. I think that's the most important thing. And then when you look at it, 316 average, 414 OBP, 456 slugging. I'd imagine he plays a lot of outfield here. He's listed as a utility because he's primarily an infielder, but I'd imagine that Kim will platoon with Cronenworth or Hosmer, and then Mateo would platoon in the outfield with Grisham when he comes back. And I'd imagine that when Grisham comes back, Marcano is going to be sent down, which is the fairly obvious choice here, considering that Marcano is 21, he has options. But it's certainly impressive and a very encouraging sign for him to make the opening day roster. Just another Padres prospect from Preller that is overperforming, and you absolutely love to see it.
Hey, Dom, of course. And for Kim, he did have a tough spring, but of course, he just came here from Korea. None of us really expected him to just go off right as he came in, changing from the velocity, of course, from Korea to the U.S. is a huge difference. But yeah, I expect him to play a lot of second. Of course, Jake Cronenworth struggled against lefties last year. We can even see Cronenworth play first sometimes. If Hosmer needs a day off, put Kim in at second. If Jake Cronenworth needs a day off, put Kim at second, keeping Hosmer at first. But we have a lot of guys in the infield that can move around. Cronenworth can move around. Kim can move around. We saw him play some short and third in spring training. So he can play all over the infield. So, yeah, Kim, hopefully that he can be a great guy off the bench. He did struggle, but I'm very excited to see these group of guys off the bench. We have huge depth, and that's what makes teams great.
Yep, depth wins. We've seen that oftentimes with the Dodgers. We saw it with the Nationals. We've seen it with the Astros. We've seen it with the Red Sox. You know, basically every team that ends up winning the World Series has depth, and that's certainly what the Padres, they have it this year, and that's something they never really had. All right, moving over to pitchers here. The rotation, I don't really think there was any surprises considering that Denelson Lamet's going to start the year on the injured list. It was announced that Yu Darvish will be the opening day starter, and Blake Snell will start the second game on Friday. And then the next three pitchers are Joe Musgrove, Chris Paddock, and Adrian Morejon. I'd imagine that is the order that they pitch in, but that is not confirmed yet. And they said that the Padres would announce their full rotation and the ordering of them on Wednesday. This, of course, is being recorded on Tuesday afternoon. But no surprises here, right, Bobby?
Yeah, Dom, not at all. One thing I'm super excited about was just to see Snell's spring. We know how good of a pitcher he is, but he absolutely went off this spring. 14.1 innings, no runs at all, with 13 strikeouts, and he was just phenomenal. We did go to one of the game where we saw Yu Darvish pitch. He did struggle a little bit with his command, but, I mean, he'll be fine. He's our opening day starter, and we have Yu Darvish, which is super fun to say in a Padres uniform. But, yeah, Paddock, I mean, we saw him get absolutely shelled. I believe you were there for that game. Musgrove had a solid spring, so he'll be a great I think he'll be probably the number three starter. I expect him to pitch the third game of the series, but that is yet to be announced. And Morejon, he had a solid spring. He had 3.21 ERA in 14 innings with 17 Ks, so he showed off his stuff a lot. He did have 10 walks in those 14 innings, so he just needs to get his command down. But he had a solid spring, so I'm excited to see Morejon. If he can produce as the fourth or fifth pitcher this year, either depending on how Paddock's doing this year and whenever Lamet comes back, this will be a huge year for Morejon for his future if he can pitch well this year in the four or five spot.
Yeah, Morejon's been a guy that AJ Preller has held on to despite being in just about every trade rumor because he has a ton of value. Lefty throws high 90s with 3+ off-speed pitches, and he's going to get a chance to make the rotation. It's going to be interesting to see. Can he extend his starts a little bit more? That's something that I've always been concerned with. And he's a great pitcher. He's got pretty solid command. The control at times can be a little iffy, but his stuff's fantastic. The more efficient he is, the much better pitcher he's going to be because he can work deeper into ball games. He hasn't done that in his tenure as a Padre. He came up in 2019. didn't work deep into ball games, came up in 2020, didn't work deep into ball games, got a start in game three of the NLDS against the Dodgers. The stuff's all there. He's got to put it all together. And once he does, he's going to be so good, and he's going to help this Padres rotation and or bullpen be absolutely lethal. And like you mentioned, Joe Musgrove is going to be the three. I mean, I don't see a way around that. Chris Paddock, you touched on it. I was there at the game on Monday to end spring training, and it was bad. He allowed 8 earned runs to the Rockies' B lineup, and I don't know, because like I think everyone who listens to this podcast, who listens to the EVT podcast, or follows me on Twitter knows how much I love Chris Paddock. And it's frustrating. Now, I don't think the Padres necessarily put him in a position to succeed on Monday by bringing him in out of the bullpen in the fourth inning. But at the same time, you can't make up excuses for a pitcher who is frankly extremely talented, has shown that he is a good pitcher in the major leagues, at least at times, to come out and allow 8 earned runs and 3 innings against the Rockies' B lineup. And I don't know what he has to do to figure it out. I mean, I was just there in the outfield. I couldn't see what was going on. Obviously, his command wasn't all there. And when Paddock's command isn't there, things typically don't go well for him. But it was tough to see where he was locating the ball. I can really see his mechanics or anything. He looked really good to start spring training, and his last two outings have been very rough. And all signs are pointing towards Chris Paddock trending more towards where he was at the end of last year as opposed to where he was in 2019. And that is not a good thing for the Padres, because there are other guys in this program in the Padres that can fill in for Paddock if he's struggling. Morejon, Weathers, we'll talk about in a little bit. Gore at some point, hopefully. Like, Paddock needs to figure this out. Otherwise, he's going to be on the outside of things, could get pushed to the bullpen, could get traded, something along that line. This is third year. So he's arbitration eligible after this year. And if the Padres want to move on from him, they can at the cost of nothing. They can non-tender him. So this is kind of a make or break year for Chris Paddock, and his last two spring training outings have been very unencouraging.
Yeah, Dom. I mean, I just hope Paddock can get it back this year. I mean, we all know he had a rough year last year, but if we can get the sheriff back from, I mean, early rookie year, that kind of sheriff, that'd be huge for the team. Of course, and probably the fourth spot in the rotation. We have a deep rotation, and it all depends on if the guys can be at the top of their game, of course, which we can't get all 5 guys at the top of their game. But if we can get a solid Paddock, that'd be huge this year.
Yeah, he's a very important part. I feel like at this point, he's kind of like the Padres X factor, because like a lot of people are expecting big things out of Joe Musgrove. A lot of people know that Blake Snell and Yu Darvish are going to be good. But when you consider the rest of the Padres rotation, Chris Paddock and the other young guys, they're the big question marks. And Paddock is the guy with the experience out of those bunch. So he needs to step it up. All right, let's move out to the bullpen. And we got 9 people in the bullpen, according to AJ Casswell. I'll list them off, and then I can get your thoughts. Emilio Pagan, Drew Pomeranz, Mark Melanson, Keon Nikella, Tim Hill, Craig Stammen, Ryan Weathers, Nabil Chrismat, and Taylor Williams. Now, important to note, Jose Castillo got Tommy John surgery. He is done for the year. Javi Guerra has a right UCL sprain. Dan Altavilla has a calf strain. Pierce Johnson has a groin strain. And Austin Adams has a right elbow injury. So those players are all going to begin the season on the injured list. And that is why some of those arms that you probably wouldn't have expected to make the Padres opening day bullpen are in there. What are your thoughts on the bullpen?
I'm just hoping we can get these guys back. Pierce Johnson, Austin Adams are some of my favorite guys in this bullpen. We all know Pierce Johnson. He was in the talk to be, not dark horse, but we have a lot of top guys up there. But some people wanted Pierce Johnson as closer. Austin Adams, we know he has that nasty slider. Altavilla, he kind of had a tough spring, but I think he'll be solid for us when healthy. But this bullpen we have now, I love it a lot. One of the strengths is the lefties that we have out there. Tim Hill, he had a phenomenal spring, 6.1 shutout innings, 11 Ks. Drew Pomeranz had 4 innings with 9 Ks shutouts. And I just love Pomeranz. I love Tim Hill. They had great springs. And it's huge to have lefties like that in our bullpen. Of course, we have Ryan Weathers out there. So those are some guys that I just can't wait to see.
Yeah. I mean, like, I'm not shocked Weathers made the opening day roster because, of course, there are guys that are on the injured list, and the left-handed arms, which we've talked about, are lacking in the bullpen with Castillo and Strom being on the injured list to start the year. But Weathers, 12 and two-thirds innings, 7.11 ERA with 15 strikeouts. So, I mean, the 15 strikeouts certainly signal that he's going to be a great pitcher in the major leagues. He's got the nasty stuff. And then the 7.11 ERA kind of signals to me that he's not quite ready to take on a big role with the Padres. I'd imagine that when some of those guys come back, particularly Matt Strom, he could go back down. But really excited for his future. He's going to be a fantastic pitcher. Taylor Williams, another one of those guys that I would very much expect that as soon as one of the right-handed arms is coming back from the injured list, Williams will be sent down. He doesn't have any options, which would mean that he'll likely get released. But Williams just has not been great this spring. He's been getting rocked. And eight and two-thirds innings, it's 4.15 ERA, which means he's allowed four runs. He's allowed eight hits. Just hasn't looked great. He's also walked four guys. That's just not something that you want to be seeing. Or sorry, he's walked five guys. So he just hasn't been that impressive, and he certainly struggled a little bit for the Padres last year. He's someone I wouldn't expect to be too long in the Padres bullpen. Now, Nabil Chrismat might be someone that goes down over him first because Chrismat has options. Williams, like I said, does not. So if Williams is then placed off the Padres roster, he will, of course, get put on waivers. And I'm sure someone else will pick him up because he is nasty stuff. But the expectation is that Pierce Johnson will return as soon as he's eligible to get off the injured list, which I believe is April 8th. And then Austin Adams and Dan Altavilla and Javi Guerra are guys that could certainly come back in for him. Pretty sure Altavilla doesn't have any options. I know Guerra doesn't have any options. And Guerra, his stuff is a little bit more lively than Williams. So I think Williams' days are numbered as a Padre, unless he gets hurt and then is able to go on the injured list, which, of course, you would never wish on him. But I think that's just my expectation. Any other things you want to talk about with this bullpen, Bobby?
I just want to see, I'm just going to give mine first and then see what you think yours could be for the 7, 8, and 9 for the Padres this year. Because we have a deep bullpen. We have Melanson, Kella, Pagan. I was thinking our 7, 8, 9 would be something like, I mean, we have so many guys, but maybe Melanson, Pomerantz, Pagan. I would love that guys, those guys at the 7, 8, 9 right there. Pagan at closer, I would like to see him there. And Drew Pomerantz has just been phenomenal for us as long as we've had him as a Padre. And Melanson, he had a great spring, 2.08 ERA in almost 9 innings. If I saw Melanson in the 7th or 8th inning role, I'd love that. Have him be the hold guy. And with Pagan or Pomerantz at closer, I'm fine with either of those. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that's good. I don't want Pomerantz to be the closer because, like I mentioned before, left-handed arms are lacking in the Padres bullpen, 3 out of the 9, which I think 3 is a good number. But, you know, when you have 6 righties, I definitely would think that you want a righty to be that lockdown guy as the closer. And when you consider that Pomerantz was the Padres' best reliever last year, sometimes the best reliever isn't always used in the final 3 outs. Because I'm not saying those 3 outs aren't important, but if you come in a run game in the 7th inning with 2 outs, 2 runners on, that out's more important than saying, you know, facing 7, 8, 9 of the Diamondbacks lineup in the 9th inning. It's all about matchups. Pomerantz is the best reliever for the Padres. Certainly good to see him come back and pitch at the end of spring training. Like you mentioned, four scoreless outings. And of course, he did take a break in between because he was nursing a bit of an injury, but he looks good. Fastball's lively, curveball's lively. I would expect him to be used more in high leverage situations, which is what the Padres used him in last year. So yeah, I'm on board with either Melanson, either Kella or Pagan to be the Padres closer. And then you could use Hill and Weathers and Pomerantz for more high leverage situations than some of the other relievers in other situations. So yeah, that is the Padres roster breakdown. I think we covered just about everything, and it's going to be interesting. Like we said, some very important Padres players on the injured list. Do you think the Padres get off to a little bit slower of a start since the roster's not at 100%? Or are you not too concerned?
I'm not too concerned. We have a lot of depth, of course, not just on the bench, of course, but the bullpen as well. I like the guys we have out there. But of course, once we get them all back, we'll just be taking off as I expect and as I hope we do, as all Padres fans do. But of course, with these injuries, if we have a slow start, Padres fans shouldn't worry about it. deep lineup, deep bullpen, nice rotation. But once we get them all back, I'm super excited. And I think we should be fine for the beginning of the season.
Yeah, especially when you consider that the Padres' schedule to start the season is certainly not as strong. When you look at it, Diamondbacks to start, you do have the Dodgers twice, but you get the Rockies, you get the Brewers, who should be pretty solid, and you just get, you know, you avoid a lot of the other really good teams, the NL, like the NL East. But I think that the Padres, maybe, you know, a lot of people were talking about them starting off like 11-5 or something along that line, like they did last year. It might not be that high, but the Padres are certainly going to get off to a good start, and they need to take advantage of the fact that the schedule to begin the season is a little weaker, especially considered when you compare it to a lot of teams, when you take into account that the Padres roster won't be at 100%. And I also forgot to mention Pittsburgh and Texas in the second and in the third and fourth series of the season. Those are two of the three worst teams in all of baseball. Got to take advantage of that. So, and also Pittsburgh again to start May. Like you got to, I don't want to say you want to win all those games against the Pirates, but I mean, if you take 5 out of 7 or even 4 out of 7, it's going to be like, okay, that was kind of disappointing because the Pirates are pretty much hot garbage. And I'd say that the only position where they even stack up well against the Padres is third base with Key Brian Hayes, who's a fantastic player if Padres fans don't know who he is. But at the same time, the Padres third baseman is Manny Machado, and I'll take Manny Machado over a rookie every day of the week. So yeah, the Padres should get off to a good start, but maybe not as great of a start as Padres fans have expected. All right, so now let's get into the opening day series. It'll be a 4-game series starting Thursday, April 1st against the Arizona Diamondbacks. Before you and I break that down, we're going to talk with a friend of mine who's a Diamondbacks fan, so let's bring him in right now. We now welcome in Spencer Chihok, fellow sophomore, alongside Bobby Murphy and I at Arizona State University in the Walter Cronkite School. Spencer is a Scottsdale native, so he grew up an Arizona Diamondbacks fan. Spencer, how are you today? Thank you for coming on Devils Talking Padres.
Thank you, Dom. You know, I watched the final spring training game against the Indians, and I got to say, watching that just got me so hyped for baseball. It was at Chase Field. Team was looking pretty good. I'm very excited.
Yeah, the team looked good in that game. I certainly saw some of the highlights from it. But overall in the spring training season, which, of course, record doesn't really matter because, you know, the games could get inflated by some of the minor leaguers coming in and blowing it. But Diamondbacks went 9-15. That was third worst in the Cactus League. Like I mentioned, doesn't really matter. But who are some players who impressed for the Diamondbacks in spring training and Padres fans should be watching out for in the opening series?
You know, really depending on what happens here with some of the final roster shakeouts, whether or not he gets the start, also come down to Nick Ahmed being healthy or not. But Josh Rojas, really impressed this year, batted over 300. He's part of that Greinke deal. It's really his time to either break out and decide to be a regular, or if he's just going to be one of those bench guys that contributes every now and then. This is his year where he's really got to impress.
And I remember Rojas watching him make his Diamondbacks, I don't want to say debut, but when he was coming up after he got traded for in 2019, he was certainly a fun guy to watch, and certainly would be good for the Diamondbacks to get some contributions out of him. So now, who is someone who like hasn't done as well so far in spring training that the Padres, you know, might be able to take advantage of it?
Oh, Luke Weaver, for sure. This guy's coming out here, keeps talking about how he's going to be better, you know. Hasn't seen it yet. He's talking about how he's tinkering, but this is now 3 years of tinkering here in Arizona. Saw some brief success before going down with injury and has never looked the same. Maybe this all changes. Opening weekend, of course, against the Padres, you know, Madison Bumgarner, horrible in spring training, and up until last year, always ended up playing great. But Luke Weaver is someone that I'm a little bit worried about.
Yeah, especially when you consider he had a 6.58 ERA last year in 52 innings. That's a bit concerning. And he was the guy that the Diamondbacks got in the Paul Goldschmidt trade from St. Louis. And he certainly has not panned out the way that they would have liked to.
Absolutely not, you know, and honestly, neither really has Carson Kelly. Now, we do have Andy Young still around. He's honestly been the one to contribute most with the bat so far, in my opinion. And we do have the draft pick that was selected 2 years ago that, of course, could end up being a big part of the team in the future. But that Paul Goldschmidt trade right now, not looking so great. And it's always very disappointing as a D-backs fan to know that.
Yeah, I love watching Goldie. And then when he hit that home run against the Padres in game one of the wild card series, that certainly hurt. And I'm sure it hurt Diamondbacks fans to watch that as well. But he's truly a hard guy to root for. So let's talk about the starting rotation. It was released by Nick Picoro of Arizona Republic that the starting rotation is going to go as followed to start the season for the Diamondbacks: Madison Bumgarner, Merrill Kelly, Caleb Smith, Taylor Widener, and Luke Weaver. So, of course, the first four of those guys will be starting the first four games of the year. What can you tell us about those four pitchers, and what can Padre fans come to expect in the opening series against them?
And if last year really is sort of this mistake of a year, this kind of accident, 60-game thing, anything happens, Mad Bum should be back to full force. But if not, it's going to be a slugfest, I think, at San Diego for the Pods game one. Now, Merrill Kelly, guy I'm really high on. We went to the same high school. We go to the same college. It's one of those you gotta root for the local kid. I'm family friends with his old high school coach, so you know I'm pulling for this guy to play well. So for him to come out there, looked really strong last year, unfortunately. Injury took him over. He's looked good in spring training so far. He doesn't walk anyone. Don't expect a lot of walks. That's going to be a tough at bat for a very gotta swing, gotta get on base type Padres team. Now, Caleb Smith, honestly, I'm really excited for. That was another one of those Marlins pickups. Along the year prior was Zach Allen. Last year it was Caleb Smith, and I think Smith will go out and perform pretty well. I don't see any real issues with this game so far. He's got to get a little bit better at controlling the zone east to west. We'll see if he's able to do that. And we talked about Luke Weaver before. I think he's either going to come out and be average at best. If not, worst comes to worst, Arizona takes, you know, 3 out of 4. We'll see though.
Right. Yeah. I can sense the sarcasm in your voice, but, yeah, I mean, this Arizona team, they certainly disappointed last year after, I know you expected them to be very good. I thought they were going to be a playoff team. They just weren't. They had a really bad stretch in the middle of the season, 8-game losing streak that really just kind of killed the season. And at that point, that was when the Padres kind of took off and they kind of soared down. And that's when the season kind of hit a tough road. Widener, he was a rookie last year, only pitched 20 innings. And in those 20 innings, he allowed 10 earned runs. He's going to be starting game four, probably going up against Chris Paddock. Would you expect Widener to be a good matchup against Paddock, or is that going to be a high-scoring game if Paddock can't get his act together?
No, I'm very excited to see what Widener does, because he was a part of the Brandon Drury trade a few years ago. He was with the Yankees, came over as we sent Drury over to the Yankees. And, of course, Steven Souza Jr., all-time great Diamondback, came to Arizona on that one, along with Widener, kind of was that B-side track. And that's one thing Mike Hazen has done a great job so far in his trades, is really getting that guy that you go, oh, cool, he's there, ends up performing really well. You saw Ketel Marte have kind of a slow buildup as well. So I think he's going to be a great matchup with Chris Paddock, who I have to say has not looked great in spring training either.
Yeah. He started off well, and then his last two starts, just one against the Chicago Cubs, was not good. And then his last outing, which was on Monday against the Colorado Rockies B lineup, he allowed 8 earned runs in 3 innings. That is not how you want to leave spring training. And hopefully he'll be a little bit better than that. And so one last thing before I let you go is I want to talk about the lineups. Obviously, what really disappointed last year was some of the bats for the Arizona Diamondbacks. You know, Starling Marte ended up being traded at the trade deadline. But for the most part, it's going to be a very similar lineup to what it was last year. The Padres starting rotation is going to involve 3 righties and, of course, Blake Snell starting in game 2. What type of lineups could we be seeing against the 3 righties? And then what type of lineup can Padres fans expect for when Blake Snell is pitching in game 2?
Well, Arizona kind of has a bit of a luxury here, where they currently have 3 switch hitters expected to play in Asdrubal Cabrera, Ketel Marte, and Eduardo Escobar. Now, Marte most likely will be leading off again this year. I see no reason why he wouldn't. Escobar in the 2-hole, I think, makes perfect sense. This, of course, is for righties. Now, for the 3-hole, David Peralta batting 3rd should play phenomenally. Always does really well against righties, above 300 average splits for essentially his entire career. Christian Walker, who we know can slug. We really do. I think that's one thing about his game that's surprised some people, is how the home run aspect of Goldschmidt's game has relatively been kind of saved by Christian Walker and his ability to hit home runs. Cole Calhoun, Arizona's home run leader last year. Expect him to come back lefty. Played really well. Of course, those numbers probably won't be held up as fly ball to home run being at rate being at 35% or something crazy like that isn't sustainable in baseball. It really isn't. They expect it to be more in that 20% range, and it was all the way up past 30. So really expect that to come back down to earth. Still another local guy, though. Great to see him play well. And of course, to round it out, all-time greats, Asdrubal Cabrera be towards the bottom, and then Nick Abed and Carson Kelly. Both of them are, of course, known for their offensive play as well. For lefties, essentially the same lineup, except you're going to push down your David Peraltas, maybe put Cabrera up a few spots, and then Nick Abed also might play higher in the lineup. He actually bats, I believe it was 2017-18, he bat over 400 against lefties. So really, he's kind of a different monster when it comes to lefties versus righties. So if Ahmed's able to replicate those stats from a few years ago, he could be a solid force for your lefty starter.
Yeah, Ahmed's got a career 133 OPS plus against left-handed pitchers. So I definitely expect him to move up in the order. And then a guy like David Peralta, who very good hitter, but is much better against right-handed pitchers, to certainly move down the order. Spencer, we thank you for coming on and giving your Diamondbacks insight. It's good to have you on again. I know that you came on last year before one of the Padres D-back series. I wish your team the best of luck. I hope that we end up beating you, but not a loser. I do wish your team luck, and hopefully you guys beat the Dodgers for the good of baseball.
Thank you, Dom, and of course, beat LA.
All right, that was our expert breakdown from a Diamondbacks fan. We thank him for coming on. It's always good if you listen to Devils Talking Padres. Last season, you knew that we did that for just about every team. I, of course, don't know people here at ASU who are very into their teams for every team in the major leagues, but I try to do that as much as I can because I feel like that information is certainly valuable. Okay, so now let's get into it ourselves. Opening day rotation, we already talked about it. Darvish and Snell, and they'll be matching up against Madison Bumgarner and Merrill Kelly. What do you think of those two matchups for us?
Oh, yeah, Dom. Those two matchups for us, I mean, both of our pitchers right there are, of course, much better than their guys. Bumgarner, I mean, he had a rough spring training. Merrill Kelly did as well. I believe in 2020, Merrill Kelly also had a very rough spring training. But he just, if he has a rough spring, I mean, nothing too bad to look off of. But, I mean, I love our matchups we have right there. Of course, having Bumgarner as a lefty out there, we'll see what we have. I know it's opening day, so I'm guessing we'll see Cronenworth out there. We'll see Hosmer, so the two lefties in the infield. But I love our matchups, what we have right there. Bumgarner, he had a tough last year. And of course, it was a shortened season, but he had a 6.48 ERA after 3.9 in 2019. So his first year with the D-backs was pretty rough. We had one game last year against him that was what we just called bad in practice. We absolutely crushed the ball, and we just killed Bumgarner that game. So hopefully we can do that again this year, and I'm loving the matchups we have right now.
Yeah, and this will be the third straight year the Padres face off against Madison Bumgarner on opening day. I think that's just kind of funny. And I mentioned this on the last episode of the EVT podcast. I mean, Madison Bumgarner had a bad year. I'm not going to sugarcoat it or anything, but it seems like, given that he left early on in the year with injuries and then he came back and pitched a lot better to end the year, I think that Padres fans may have jumped the gun a little bit. His last two outings, he didn't allow a single earned run, struck out 7 and then 4. So that certainly helped his numbers a bit. But he just wasn't healthy, and you never know with this pandemic season. So I'm going to give a fantastic pitcher like Madison Bumgarner the benefit of the doubt in that situation. He's still only 31, but he's going to be good for them again this year. He had a very solid spring training. He's going to be better than the 6.48 ERA he was in 2020. I can guarantee that. So it certainly seems like the Padres may have dodged a bullet in not signing him, which it was very highly rumored that he was considering the Padres, but The 5-year, $85 million deal for the Diamondbacks is certainly in a very tough spot right now, considering how he started. And Merrill Kelly, he actually pitched very well against the San Diego Padres last year. I remember he made that one start. He only allowed one run, and that was a leadoff home run off the bat of course, Fernando Tatis Jr. But solid pitcher, 2.59 ERA last year. Doesn't exactly throw hard, but certainly effective. And like I mentioned, was effective against the Padres last year too. 0.71 ERA in 12 2/3 innings, only allowed 9 hits. So hopefully the Padres can have a little bit better success against him this year. That he'll be matching up against Snell. I mean, I think the Padres have the pretty clear advantage in that matchup. I mean, because Blake Snell's won a Cy Young and Merrill Kelly isn't on the level of Blake Snell. And then Caleb Smith, left-handed pitcher, formerly pitched for the Miami Marlins. He'll be their number 3 pitcher. And then Taylor Widener, kind of like a sidearm pitcher, not sidearm, but like a 3/4 release, throws in the mid-90s, certainly a nasty stuff. He'll match up against whoever the 4 pitcher for the Padres is on that Sunday afternoon. So things will certainly be interesting. And if you're looking at tickets, the ticket prices go dramatically down as the week goes on. At least that's what it looks like on Vivid Seats, if you look on ESPN. So if Padres fans are looking to go to Padres games, you have options. They're not too expensive. And I certainly wish I could be there, but that doesn't seem realistic. So Diamondbacks, those are the pitchers that we'll be lining up against. The lineup disappointed a ton last year, and they ended up moving off of one of the players that they actually acquired in the offseason before the 2020 season at the trade deadline. That was Starling Marte. Fantastic player. He'll no longer be able to haunt the Padres because he certainly did well against the Padres last year. And then Ketel Marte was an MVP finalist in the 2019 season. Didn't have anywhere near the power season in 2019 as he did in 2020. And his average went down, but he's still a good player. And then you also have a couple of other guys. Eduardo Escobar had 115 RBIs in 2019. Wasn't very good in 2020. Christian Walker's a pretty consistent bat at first base. You have Cole Calhoun, who had a very solid year out for them in right field. Carson Kelly, the catcher they acquired in the Paul Goldschmidt deal. So this team's got some players on it. They disappointed in 2020. It'll be interesting to see if they can bounce back in 2021, and they'll be looking to do so starting with the series against the Padres.
Yeah, Dom, and I know this lineup disappointed a lot last year, but I really like this lineup. Eduardo Escobar, of course, when you were talking about a few years ago, he had a great year. But Christian Walker, Ketel Marte, Nick Ahmed, not much of a bat, but one of the best fielding shortstops in the league. I really like this lineup. If they can all get hot, this team, I mean, I don't want to say, of course, that they'll make noise in the division. But I have this team finishing third in the division, of course, behind the Dodgers and us. But I like this lineup, of course. Last year was a shortened season, of course, but Ketel Marte is one of the best players in the NL. He's still very underrated. I like him a lot. Eduardo Escobar, he fell off after having a great year a few years ago. But this lineup, people underrate it, and I think it can be tough sometimes.
Right. And another player I want to talk about is Josh Rojas. He was one of their prospects they acquired in the Zach Greinke deal back in 2019. He's had a killer spring, batting .343 with a 400 OBP and a 988 OPS. So I think he's going to have a very solid year. We'll see where he ends up playing because he's kind of a utility player. Eduardo Escobar, like we mentioned, he also had a rough spring, or not great, 759 OPS, but a 259 OBP is certainly not where he needs to be at. Peralta had a better spring. Christian Walker, like I mentioned, had a great spring. And then you look at a couple other guys. Carson Kelly had a rough spring. Ketel Marte had a great spring. Didn't get a ton of at-bats, but he's certainly a great player. Like I said, their lineup is, I think, better than what a lot of people give him credit for. But they just don't match up too well with the Padres. And I think that this should be a series that the Padres should win at least 3 out of 4. A split, I don't want to say, would be disappointing, but like I mentioned, the Padres aren't at full strength. But another thing about the D-backs is their ace and their best pitcher last year, Zach Gallen, is going to begin the year on the injured list. He certainly would have been their opening day starter. He set the major league record to start the season with 3 or less earned runs in all of his starts. I forget what the number was, but it was for a long time. And he was certainly impressive. And the Padres are certainly going to be thankful that he will not be in their rotation. Of course, like I said, you never want to wish an injury on a player, but the Padres will certainly be thankful that they don't have to face him to begin the year.
And one thing I just want to say about this pitching matchup, Merrill Kelly, he's actually an Arizona State alum. Just want to put that out there. So Friday's matchup, Snell versus Merrill Kelly, that could be an interesting one. He was actually drafted eighth round out of ASU in 2010. So, of course, this is the Devils talking Padres. So just wanted to put in the ASU connection there.
Yes, he is. And that, I feel like that basically wraps up our D-backs preview. And four games, you think the Padres can win the series 3 out of 4, maybe even sweep them?
I mean, I would love a sweep. Like you said, we are undermanned a little bit. I also don't want to say I'd be disappointed with the splits. I would rather win 3 out of 4, of course. That's a dumb statement, but of course, 3 out of 4 is always the goal. 2 out of 3, you always want to win the series and get momentum into the next one. So I think we should win this series, win 3 out of 4. Winning the first two should be great with Darvish and Snell. I love our 1-2 punch right there with those guys in the top of our rotation. But it should be a good series, and I'm super excited to see the Padres back on the field.
Yeah, I think a split is not the worst thing in the world, like I said, considering the health. But you definitely want to get off to a good start. Padres faced the Diamondbacks with a 4-game series to open last year, took 3 out of 4. So if they can do the same thing again this year, that would certainly be fantastic. You got anything else to add before we wrap up this episode of Devils Talking Padres? We hit on a lot of things today, Bobby, and it's certainly been longer than the other podcasts we've recorded this offseason, but this is something you can expect from us for the rest of the season, which I think is awesome.
And I'm super excited just to be back here talking Padres baseball with you, with whatever guests we have on. To the fans who all listen, thank you so much. And I'm very excited for another Padres season on DTP.
Yes. And the series will end on Sunday. Bobby and I will be recording this on Sunday night or Monday morning. If you want to be our Padres guest and talk about the series and the upcoming series for this next episode, you're available Sunday night or Monday morning, depending on whenever Bobby and I choose to record it. Please reach out to one of us at DMster19 is my Twitter. At BobbyMurphy2000 is Bobby's Twitter. Make sure to follow us both. So we'll be talking about the Padres all series on Twitter. And then if you want to be the guest, expand your brand on Twitter, please let us know. I know we're going to reach out to a couple of guests and talk about that. But like I said, you can expect this type of podcast, if this is your first time listening to Devils Talking Padres, before and after every single Padres series. It's what we did. We look forward to informing you and talking about Padres baseball to your ears for the rest of the season. If this is your first time listening to us, thank you. Subscribe to us if you're listening to us on Apple Podcasts, and follow us if you're listening to us on Spotify. We thank you all for tuning in. Also, make sure to check out East Village Times and see all of our Padres content, series previews on there for every single series. We also have game recaps coming in for every game. So like I said, thank you all for tuning in. We greatly appreciate your support, and we will catch you all next episode.